Chapter 11. Wheels within wheels. That's all you get. Kill them. Tyro gripped the edge of the panel, his mind racing to process Weyland's desperate vox. The transmission had been abruptly cut off, but Tyro had heard the screeching wail of a missile lock.
"You know, then," said Shadrach Medjuson.
It wasn't a question.
"I know,"
said Tyro, glancing first at Thematica and then through the shattered window. A moment of perfect understanding passed between them. Tyro turned slowly, his heart colder and harder than Medusan ice diamonds. His hand slid towards the bolter, maglocked to his thigh.
"I'd keep my hand from that weapon if I were you," said Medusan. "Sergeant Maysan favors his Messer. But he's the best I've seen with a bolt pistol."
Tyro spread his fingers as he completed his turn. 12 warriors clad in the black of the Iron Tenth stood with Medjuson in the ruin of the control hub. Each had their weapons raised. Ashur Maysan stropped his gutting knife along his silvered arm, an arm Tyro now knew to be a lie. The spiked ball of Gascon Malthace's flail described a tight arc beside his knee. With Cybus, Thoic, and the others gone to meet the arrivals on the platform, only Thematica, Ignatius Newman, and Solgan, Dubrik, and Sinan of the Sisypheum stood with him. The odds weren't good, but the Iron Hands had never been ones to let impossible odds stand in their way.
"What in the name of the Gorgon is going on?"
bellowed Ignatius Newman.
"Medjuson has betrayed us," said Tyro.
He didn't need to see Newman's face to know how ridiculous that sounded. That one Iron Hand would ever betray another was utterly preposterous, a lunatic fever dream. So impossible was it that only one other possibility presented itself.
"You're not Shadrach Medjuson," said Tyro.
"No, Cadmus, I'm not."
"Then who are you?"
"Now you're just stalling," said Medjuson, reaching up to remove his helmet. "You already know, don't you?"
The face beneath was just as Tyro remembered it when Medjuson had first set foot upon the Sisypheum's deck. He regarded Tyro with a mixture of amusement and regret. His blood-filled eye blinked, and all traces of the trauma vanished. In its place was an eye the colour of honeyed milk. Medjuson took hold of the crude mask of cybernetic augmentations covering the side of his head and tore it free, taking the layer of burn scars with it.
That was real skin, you know.
The revealed face was handsome, with a smooth complexion of beaten bronze. A strong jawline, wide cheekbones, and the merest hint of a sardonic grin lurking on the lips. It was the face of one who could command loyalty with a glance, devotion with a word. The face of a Primarch.
"Alpharius," said Tyro. "The one and only."
Medjuson had always possessed a dynamic physical presence, but revealed as Alpharius, Tyro saw the true power lay behind his eyes. Behind them turned schemes within schemes, wheels upon wheels. The Primarch's thoughts slipped effortlessly in dimensions Tyro couldn't even begin to fathom. Inside the mind of Alpharius, the galaxy turned 10,000 times a day.
"Why?"
said Tyro.
"What was this for?"
Alpharius stepped towards him, supremely confident that Tyro couldn't harm him. It would take only a fraction of a second to draw and shoot, but Tyro knew he would be dead before the weapon was even half raised. Alpharius turned to him and said,
"I envy you, Cadmus.
You know with utter and absolute certainty you can trust those who bear the black and silver.
I am not so fortunate. When I made my choice, not all my sons agreed to trust my revelations."
"Revelations,"
said Tyro, keeping himself between the enemy Primarch and Thematica. Alpharius waved away his question.
"It would take too long to explain, and I'm not sure your all-too-literal mind would be capable of understanding anyway."
Is that why you turned traitor? Asked Tyro. Because of your revelations? Is that why you betrayed your father? Alpharius laughed and raised an admonishing finger. Do you really think you can get under my skin with such obvious barbs, Cadmus? What is it you think? That I'll get angry and make some kind of mistake you can exploit to save the day? No. There's nothing left for you to say. So who came down on that thunderhawk? Said Tyro. One of your captains who refused to follow you into treachery? Alpharius said, Legate Caitin, a good man in his own way, honorable to a fault and possessed of a great deal of sensitive information, which is why I needed to find him before he reached the Imperium. Thank you for helping me with that, by the way. You needed our Kryptos to find him, said Tyro. I'd have caught him eventually, replied Alpharius, folding his arms across his chest. But yes, the Kryptos definitely made things easier. So, the Alpha Legionnaires aboard these moored ships, their crews still hold true to the Emperor. Alpharius rapped his knuckles on the console behind him and said, They do, yes. But if Freighter Thematica has done his job well, as I'm sure he has, then Kaitin's ship is already a floating time bomb. It's just going to go off a little earlier than planned. Tyro looked for an angle he could use, a chink in the Primarch's aloof armor, but he had nothing. Tyro was a warrior, pure and simple. He was ill-equipped for a battle of wits against a Primarch. That wasn't a battle he could win. But as he heard Thematica's servo arm tap thrice against the deck plates, he knew he wouldn't have to. Alpharius saw the change in his body language.
What is it, Cadmus? He said with a grin.
Do you think you have hope? Have you conceived a scheme to thwart me?
Not me, said Tyro, nodding to Thematica.
Him! Tyro threw himself to the floor as the wrecking ball fist of a titan smashed through the control hub. The fist was a manipulator claw, which was just as well, as a true battle titan weapon would have killed everyone in the control hub instantly. Detonating metal and machinery slammed into Tyro. His armor cracked open in a dozen places. The deck fell away as the hub's cantilevered supports were torn apart by the rampage Thematica had set the Mechanicum engine upon. The world turned upside down as he fell from the ziggurat. He smashed into a lower level, rolled and kept going on a downward trajectory, slammed all the way by the tsunami of debris falling from above. Bodies flashed through his vision, too fast to see who they were. Hammering impacts smashed him in the chest, driving the breath from him. A spar of something sharp gashed his head. All sense of up and down was instantly lost. Even his Lyman's ear was incapable of processing the sheer speed and ferocity of his descent. The avalanche carried him onwards, in a river of shattered steelwork that threatened to crush him at any moment. Tyro felt every impact, most violent enough to break bones. His femur shattered like broken ceramic. The ossified bone sheath protecting his chest split down its center, and his collarbone snapped in three places. The pain was excruciating, but he pushed it down as his genhanced senses at last began to impose some kind of order upon his surroundings. He'd stopped moving. The wrecked side of the ziggurat reared up before him, the titan still pummeling its sides with its clawed hands, as if seeking to gouge some treasure from within. A near-constant rain of shattered plasteel and bronzed plating fell from its onslaught. Tyro fought to draw a breath, watching as a blooming explosion wreathed the structure's pinnacle in fire. Blazing plumes of phosphor-bright promethium arced downwards like pyroclastic fireballs. Secondary blasts rocked the platform wherever they struck something volatile. On Lerna 212, that was more or less everything. Magma-red light bathed the platform in diabolical radiance, like the hellfires of primitive underworlds loosed upon the world. Smoke boiled from ruptured silos, flames roared to the sky from spewing pipes. Tyro was reminded of the eternal fires of Mount Karashi, the glowering stratovolcano where the Primarch had come to Medusa. Brother Bombastus had been named for that violent peak, even before he'd been interred within his dreadnought sarcophagus. A sheet of steel, heat warped like plastic, pinned him to the ground. Tyro pushed against it, but the weight of debris on top was too much for him. His armor was inert, plates of buckled, scorched ceramite without power. His generator pack had been torn from his back sometime during his pinwheeling fall.
"I won't die here,"
he grunted through the red mist of pain.
"Then shut up and help me lift,"
said Thematica, scrambling through the smoke and cindered rain. He'd lost all but one of his servo arms, and his craggy features were a mask of clotted blood and oils. Tyro nodded and forced his arms under the steel, squeezing his eyes shut and gritting his teeth against the pain. Tyro roared as he and Thematica lifted together. It still wasn't enough. Then Ignatius Newman was there, adding his vast strength to their effort. Tyro felt the steel lift a fraction, enough to scramble his way to freedom.
"Get out!"
gasped Newman.
"Now!"
Thematica and Newman let the sheet fall as Tyro pushed himself onto one knee. His broken leg was a fiery mass of grinding pain, but it would support his weight if he worked with it and not against it.
"Amen,"
he said between sucking breaths that told him at least one of his primary lungs had collapsed.
"Sinan's dead," said Thematica grimly. "Sulgan and Dubrick are here. Alfarius?"
"Oh, no idea," said Thematica. "Hopefully dead."
"If he couldn't be that lucky,"
said Tyro, shaking his head. The motion set off a dozen explosions of pain inside his skull. At least one fracture, maybe more. He'd lost his helmet in the fall and hadn't noticed until now.
"No, you couldn't,"
said Alfarius, emerging from the burning rain like a fiend newly risen from the pit.
"But that was a good effort, Freyta."
The Primarch's bronzed features were no longer handsome, cut and bloodied in his tumultuous descent, yet he stood unbroken where lesser men had died. The fall had abraded most of the black from his armour, leaving him a giant in bare metal plate. Matchless anger smouldered in those ever-turning eyes. Ashur Maesan and Gascon Malthus stood with their master. Unbelievably, Maesan appeared to have come through the fall virtually unscathed, but Malthus held his right arm across his chest. A knot of splintered bone jutted from the shattered elbow.
"A good effort," repeated Alfarius. "But that's all you get."
The Primarch lifted his bolter and put four mass reactives through Tyro's chest. Ignatius Newman did not consider himself a man of much imagination, but the silent sight of Alfarius gunning down Cadmus Tyro stirred long-forgotten memories of his boyhood on Medusa. It took him back to moonless nights when he thrilled to tales of demons wrought in silver, rising from the planet's spiteful heart. Demons, aye. And the heroes that slew them. Tyro fell, a fountaining arc of blood following him to the ground, and the moment passed. Once again, Alfarius was simply an enemy to be killed, a faithless traitor who deserved no such grand mythologizing. Alfarius said something, but Newman's visor was cracked and no words appeared there. Instead, he read them from the Primarch's lips.
"Kill them."
Ashur Maesan went for Sulgan and Dubrick, seeing the iron studs affixed to their helmets. Gascon Malthus took slow steps towards Newman, swinging the tarnished steel ball on its chain in a rigidly controlled spiral. Alfarius faced Thematica, and words passed between them. Newman didn't bother to lip-read. He needed all his focus for his own fight. Peripheral vision registered movement, but Newman blocked it out. At times like this, when total focus was required, his deafness was a boon. Malthus didn't say anything, and Newman was grateful. They were going to fight, and one of them was going to die. What use were words at a time like this? They circled in the chemical rain like predators sizing up a rival alpha. Malthus kept his flail in motion, the killing head fist-sized and welded with bluntly lethal pyramidal spikes. Newman ignored it and kept his battered chainsword, a weapon that had served him faithfully for 37 years, held wide in a loose right-handed grip. Malthace feinted left, stepped right, and struck for Newman's knee with shocking speed. He expertly maintained the tension in the chain, keeping the thrust of the haft perfectly in sync with the arc of the spiked head. Newman spun away, avoiding the spiked mace head by a fraction. Malthace jerked his arm, whipping it back and sending the ball slamming into Newman's plastron. The force was enormous, and Newman grunted as he felt flesh rupture beneath his armor. Another blow arced inwards on another crippling parabola. Newman managed to get his sword up, but the mace head shattered the blade like porcelain. Serrated teeth flew from the broken sword, and Newman roared as one lodged in his left eye lens. The visor fogged with distortion. He stepped away from his opponent as Malthace whipped the killing head of the mace around again. This time he aimed for Newman's head. The blow was expertly judged, perfectly timed, and against any other warrior than one of the Iron Tenth, would have ended the fight there and then. Newman reacted the only way he could. He raised his arm and caught the mace head in the center of his palm. He gripped it tightly before Malthace could withdraw it.
"Something to be said for having an iron hand," he said.
Newman shifted his weight and lunged, the iron ball cocked to the hollow of his neck. With his entire mass and momentum behind it, Newman hammered the mace head through Malthace's faceplate. It tore through his helm and into flesh and bone. The impact shivered up Newman's arm. Malthace gave a gurgling cry and stumbled back as far as the taut chain links would allow. Ceramite fell from his shattered helmet, and the scale of his wounding was terrible to behold. The iron ball had caved in the left side of the equerry's face from jawbone to brow. One eye was entirely gone, the other pressed from its orbit by the pressure. Gory runnels ploughed his skin and muscle into trenches. Broken, bloody teeth gaped through rents the spikes had torn.
"On your knees, dog!"
bellowed Newman, yanking the chain like a master calling a whipped cur to heel. Malthace mewled in agony and fell to the ground before him, one arm upraised where Newman held the chain and mace head. With his free hand, Newman drew his bolt pistol and pressed its muzzle through the gaping hole ripped in Malthace's cheekbone. Newman pulled the trigger, just as the photonic edge of Ashur Maesan's Hebmesser plunged in under his ribs on an upward trajectory towards his heart. Thematica was hopelessly outclassed and knew it. That he was still alive only confirmed that Alpharius hadn't yet decided to kill him. Such behaviour flew in the face of logic and reason, but perhaps the Primarch had passed beyond such things. Alpharius was cutting his armour apart piece by piece. Sulgan and Dubrick were dead, their chests and necks carved apart by Ashur Maesan in half a dozen strokes of his Hebmesser. Newman was on his knees over the headless body of Gascon Malthace, struggling with Maesan, who was attempting to drive a blade towards his heart. Alpharius trapped Thematica's arm with a twist of his blade and spun him around. The Primarch twisted Thematica's shoulder hard enough to crack bone and wrenched his head towards the storm-racked sky.
"Do you see, Frater?"
asked Alpharius.
"Let justice be done as the heavens fall."
Upon the last word, the ventral plating of the strike cruiser bulged outwards. Moments later, blazing plumes exploded from its flanks, blowing outwards in a percussive cascade of titanic detonations as the lethally volatile fuel-air mix blasted through the vessel's internal compartments. A vast groaning of metal on metal rolled over Lerna 212, like the lowing of a vast plains-dwelling leviathan being brought down by hunters. The prow of the strike cruiser nosed over as explosions pounded through its drive section and drove its stern into the clouds. The massive fuel lines tore loose, spewing thousands of megalitres of Promethean over the stricken vessel. It ignited a microsecond later and flashed back down the pipes to the vast fueling tower at the centre of the platform. Emergency shutdowns and flow cutoffs engaged, but against such calamitous speed they had no hope of sealing in time. The central tower exploded, and the entire mass of the platform shook with the power of the blast.
The heat of its detonation washed over Thaumatica in a searing wave. He gritted his teeth against the pain, feeling the point of Alpharius's sword press against the underside of his jaw. Blood welled around its tip.
"Fine work, Freighter," said Alpharius.
"Look!" The strike cruiser was falling, its wedge-shaped prow aimed squarely at Lerna 212. It fell slowly, fighting its inevitable demise with dignity. The vessel bore the colours of the enemy, but Thaumatica mourned its passing.
"An unworthy end for such a magnificent ship," he said.
He had no wish to watch so lofty and ingenious a work of man's artifice die, and closed his eyes, knowing his own death would not be long in coming.
"You should watch it die,"
said Alpharius, as though reading his thoughts. "This isn't the kind of thing you'll ever see again." Thaumatica didn't reply, but set his eye upon a lone spot of darkness within the vast swathes of neon-bright firestorms. Alpharius followed his gaze, peering into the roiling skies and white-hot plasma hurricanes raging over the ruin of the central fueling tower.
"What is it, Freighter?" said Alpharius. "What do you see when you look into the fire?"
Thaumatica grinned.
"Deliverance," he said.
Sharokin's boots slammed into Ashur Maysan's shoulder guard, sending him sprawling over Malthus's corpse. He rolled as he landed, drawing his twin black-bladed swords as he sprang to his feet. Maysan was already up and thrust his heave-messer at Sharokin's throat. He parried with one blade, blocked with the other, surprised and not a little impressed at the sergeant's speed. He blasted away from the murderous Alpha Legionnaire with a quick burst from his jump pack. Burning debris fell around them, and the ground shook with the deep vibrations of platform-wide explosions.
"You're a fast one, little raven," said Maysan,
bobbing his head like a snake as he weaved towards Sharokin with his knife passing from hand to hand.
"But you'll find old Maysan's faster. Oh, yes, faster by far. I've already claimed 4 scalps, but yours will be today's crowning achievement."
"Come closer and let me clip your wings." Sharokin took the measure of the man. He knew nothing of the Alpha Legion's roots, where they came from, the culture that birthed them, or the hardships that shaped them. Maysan's skill was great, but Sharokin couldn't pinpoint its nuances. That he was fast, agile, and ruthless was beyond question, but Sharokin saw a well of lunacy, deep as an ocean, in his eyes.
"You're insane," said Sharokin.
"Makes 2 of us then, little raven," said Maysan.
They flew at one another, and their blades tore like talons. Maysan swayed aside from each killing thrust, the heave-messer blocking Sharokin's blows with extraordinary speed. Sharokin had seldom fought faster. Only the laughing swordsman with the mask of scars he'd killed on Idris came close. He found himself bleeding from his hip and neck without even realizing he'd been struck. Maysan's every blow was masked by a feint, every seeming killing thrust a subterfuge for a deeper wound. Maysan danced back, his blade orange with the flames of the platform's destruction and wet with Raven Guard blood. He wiped it on his vambrace.
"Not used to being cut, are you, little raven?"
Maysan said. Sharokin took a faltering step back, letting his blade sag. Maysan grinned, thinking him already defeated. The Alpha Legionnaire rushed him, and Sharokin let one blade fall as he bent his knee like a runner at the blocks. He triggered his jump pack and launched himself at Maysan. The move caught the traitor by surprise, but he recovered with blinding speed, ducking from the path of the powered lunge, as Sharokin had known he would. Gripping the warrior's lowered shoulder guard like a pivot, Sharokin arced over Maysan like the sweeping hand of a clock. Vertical, he aimed his remaining sword and triggered the jump pack once more. Sharokin's black blade plunged into the trove of vital organs and blood vessels behind Maysan's collarbone. He twisted around to straddle Maysan as speed and mass drove his opponent to his knees. With his sword buried hilt deep, Sharokin churned the blade like a lever. Arteries blew apart, hearts ruptured and lungs collapsed. Hot, blood-frothed breath blasted from Maysan's opened mouth. He spasmed in shock and pain, still trying to throw Sharokin off, but the strength was leaving him with every passing second, and every mouthful of blood clogging his throat. Sharokin kept the blade moving until he was certain no life remained. He looked up in time to see the warrior, with Shadrach Medjuson's body and a Primarch's face, walking slowly towards him. He held Frater Thaumatica in one hand as though he weighed nothing at all.
"You're Altharius, aren't you?" said Sharokin. "The real one, I mean. Not a doppelganger or some homunculus?"
"I'm as real as I need to be right now," said Altharius, tossing Frater Thaumatica to land alongside Cadmus Tyro. Sharokin rose from Mycenae's corpse and circled slowly towards the fallen Iron Hands. He bent to retrieve the sword he'd dropped. Somewhere nearby, a refinery exploded. A blazing cloud of white flame mushroomed skywards.
"You're good. I'll give you that," said Altharius, with an appreciative nod, as he mirrored Sharokin's movements.
"I was sure Mycenae would kill you."
"We Ravenguard are hard to kill. Istvan should have taught you that," said Sharokin, dropping into a fighting stance and readying his swords.
Petrochemical droplets slid down each blade, cutting through their coatings of ash. "Clearly you haven't heard what's been happening on Deliverance," grinned Altharius, bending to retrieve Ashur Mycenae's Heedmesser. Sharokin tensed, expecting an attack.
"Put your blades away, Nykona," said Altharius,
sheathing the butcher's knife. "I said you were good. But that shadow-slipping trick my brother taught you won't work on me."
"We'll see," said Sharokin,
angling his sword blades, one low, one high. "No, we won't," said Altharius, turning to walk away.
"You're not going to fight me?"
"As much as I want to, I'm not going to kill you, Nykona. At least not today," said Altharius. "Magnus asked me not to."
"Good to know," said Sharokin, sheathing his swords.
Altharius laughed. "I like you, Nykona. You're a man who'll saddle a gift horse rather than look it in the mouth."
Sharokin knew good counsel when he heard it, but couldn't help himself from asking, "Then what was all this for? Why all the secrets and lies? Why entangle us in this?"
Altharius looked up into the firestorm engulfing Learner 212. "Ask Tyro to tell you, if he survives."
Sharokin said, "I will," and bent to check on Thaumatica and Tyro.
He wasn't sure he believed Altharius wouldn't kill them all, and kept a wary eye on the Primarch. Thaumatica was already stirring, the flex seal at his neck crumpled by intense crushing pressure. Thaumatica groaned and said,
"Cadmus,"
his voice little more than a shattered wet wheeze. Cadmus Tyro was bleeding out, four mass reactives making his chest look like the leavings of a greenskin feast. His eyes were wide with pain, his skin paler than Sharokin's alabaster complexion. That he was alive at all was a miracle, but he expected nothing less from a captain of the Iron Tenth. Altharius was now just a shadow, a blurred outline in the smoke. Blazing promethium billowed and seethed around him, but did not touch him. Other shapes moved in the smoke, wreathing the Primarch. Warriors in the dark plate of the Iron Hands, though none were as they seemed.
"I said I wouldn't kill you,"
said Altharius, backing away into the flames and smoke with every word.
"But I think that might."
Sharokin looked up. The dozer blade prow of the wrecked strike cruiser sliced from the tempests racking the sky, plunging towards Learner 212 and its doom.
"Thaumatica," said Sharokin, "help me with Tyro."